Now, do I see a... Shh. I'm so sorry.
This is File 81. This is Jean McMillan. I'm interviewing Inga Dunham about several things, including Crop Walk, the Haiti Project, her time with Rotary and the Interact Club, and the Salisbury Affordable Housing Trust that her husband worked on. Today's date is September 30th, 2014, and we are doing this at Inga's home. Thank you.
Well done. Okay. Is this Ronnie?
Yes. And your name is?
Inga Dunham.
And you were born where?
In Germany, East Germany.
And your birth date?
It's in February, end of February.
That's fine. Now, I'd like you to tell me how you came to this area.
This area or this country?
The area.
The area.
Salisbury.
Salisbury, okay. My husband and I, who had been living in the UK for a relatively short period of time, returned to the United States, and we were looking for a home outside of New York City. And he had former nice memories of Lime Rock Park, and somehow we ended up in this area, which was very agreeable to us, and we're very fortunate to find a home here in Lakeville.
What year was that?
That was in 1982.
And how did you get involved with the Crop Walk, which we just had?
I had already been involved with Hospital Albert Schweitzer in Haiti, and upon one of my returns, I was approached by one of the pastors of the, actually the pastor of the Methodist Church in Sharon, if I would serve on the Crop Walk Committee. And I had no idea what that was, but I quickly found out from the committee, and they were looking for a treasurer, which was not my cup of tea. I said, I don't want to handle money. What I'm interested in is organization and PR work. And it turned out perfectly well because the person who was doing the PR work didn't want to do it and was happy to turn it over to me.
Oh, good.
And from that moment, it was just good work. I mean, it was perfect. And this is how I became involved. And I became very involved. And we took the... at that point, only the churches were involved in the Crop Walk, an annual event, raising money for the hungry. And, however, I felt that the community really had to get involved and took it into the community as well. Schools and all the organizations and businesses, etc. And it became a very successful annual event where we raised lots and lots of money.
Which is very, very good. Was the minister of the Methodist Church in Sharon Carl Franson?
No, it was Phil West.
Ah.
Phil West.
And do you remember the year that you got involved?
1986 or 87.
And it's still going. And it's still doing
it's
very
still
well.
It's still going. I was intimately involved in it for about, I can't remember, 6-7 years. And then I other activities took over, and I was no longer involved.
Now, you mentioned the Haiti Project with Albert Schweitzer. Would you tell me about that, please?
Yeah. We had at the church, Shaolin Congregation Church, we had a couple that was interested in going overseas and serving overseas. Not as missionaries of the church necessarily, but they felt they wanted to give something back and didn't have to be in this community, you know, could be in other parts of the world where people were in greater need of things. And that was the Williamses. And eventually they settled on Haiti, Hospital Albert Schweitzer, which was very happy to offer them a position there because she was a registered nurse, and that's exactly what they were looking for. And so they went down there, and actually I think they obligated themselves for a couple of years. And during that time we learned about the many, many needs that the hospital had, and at initially it was rubber gloves, which were in very, very short supply, so that should date the time.
Oh, yes.
When it happened, and I think it was 1986. And, of course, you know, always Haiti going through tremendous political turmoil. Mm-hmm. There was always something going on. And so eventually we decided that we would help in some form, meaning as the church, and founded Hope for Haiti at Hospital Albert Schweitzer. And we then began to raise funds to meet some of their needs. And I felt at the time that I wanted to really see firsthand what was going on, because I always believed that one should know where the money goes, even though they were very reliable people making these reports to us, but still. And also my objective was to make a video of the hospital and the patients, etc., and bring that back so people, instead of giving people my opinion, I wanted them to see it in pictures. And also interviewing some of the leading people at the hospital, which were partly Haitians and partly Blancs, what they call Blancs, meaning people from the United States or Europe or whatever. And so that was a major undertaking for me.
Oh my goodness, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Because I had to find somebody who would make that happen with me. But anyway, it did become a reality at some point. But anyway, from that point on, I went to Haiti every single year. And, you know, checking out their needs and the changes and how our help or money or whatever had been utilized, and that it was well spent. Mm-hmm. That was always a major objective of mine, no matter what I did. I became became very close with Hospital Albert Schweitzer and the people who were serving there, although management kept changing because people came and stayed for a couple of years and then they would leave and new people came in. But it always attracted a very excellent group of doctors and nurses. But, you know, it was a what I call a third world hospital. Mm-hmm. However, it was the only hospital in Haiti at that time that had survived all the political changes and political turmoils, because they never, it was founded by Dr. Mellon and his wife Gwen Mellon, and they never became politically involved and therefore never beholden to any government in Haiti.
Which is very good.
Which served them very well.
Yes.
They are now, we are right in the year 2014, and they established the hospital in 1956.
Wow.
And that was a major undertaking,
it would be.
To build that hospital. And but then you also realize the people who were behind it, who made it happen. And they were strong characters.
They would have to be. How many trips did you make to Haiti?
On 1986 to 1990, I would say about 6, 7, maybe more. I can't remember exactly.
And I'm going to go to Rotary. It seems that Bob Estabrook asked you to join Rotary, which you did in 89, and one of the early women. You were president of Rotary 91 and 92, but what I want to talk about is the Interact Club.
Right. At that time, Interact had just come into existence by Rotary International. Mm-hmm. And that was not a thought born by our club,
local.
It was Rotary International, and they had just begun to work with young people and introduce the program called Interact, which is a strange name, but it's interaction between young people all over the world. And and at that time, I felt, while I was president, I felt that that would be a great addition to our club to have an Interact club, which could be, you know, at the local high school or even in the community itself. But the school was, in my opinion, a better place. And I approached the people at the high school, Housatonic High School here, and I don't want to go into the reaction, but it was a no. They weren't interested, in so many words. In other words, what they were doing was just the right thing. And
they didn't need any outside.
They didn't need any outside.
Been there, done that.
And however, I never gave up the idea, and nobody else, any president after me, was not particularly... didn't push it forward. Mm-hmm. So I kept in touch with the school, and there were intermittently there were people there, principals who were serving a short time, who were interested, were definitely interested, mm-hmm. but they couldn't make it happen because they weren't the actual principal, of the school. So, make a long story short, I eventually got Kathy Burkhardt, who was then the principal, I think in 1995, I think it was 95, interested, and she was very open to the idea. And, of course, what we needed was a faculty, she could be interested, but we needed a faculty advisor, and as well as myself, and Linda DiColetto became interested, and she would take on that particular task. And so anyway, we started then the Interact Club with great fanfare in 1996, I believe it was, and it was in existence for the next 16 years. In other words, because it kept changing every year, new students would come in, and other students would graduate. So it was a constantly every year changing undertaking. But we did an enormous amount of things. With the enthusiasm of young people and their energy, we were able to do incredible things, incredible community things, or things in the community, as well as overseas.
What were some of the community things that the Interact Club did?
We certainly worked with... not necessarily the crop walk, but to alleviate hunger, to serve the elderly, to... oh my God, I can't even remember all the things. They were so manifold. And in other words, and so manifold and also so different. Mm-hmm. On so many different levels we served the community. And
what was the age range?
Age range was a high school from 14 to 18 or 15 to 18. That was the range.
About how many would participate on average?
Well, early on, we had an awful lot of young people, about 60, and that filtered down eventually to, let's say, 20 or 15. Mm-hmm. No, let's say 20, maybe a little less than 20. And that was the best
size. It's a good size.
It was a best size group because there was interaction. And there weren't just hanger-oners, in other words, young people who, because some of them wanted to use this in their resume.
Sure.
In other words, they had been part of the Interact Club, which was part of Rotary International, da-da-da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. And we really want to avoid that, unless they were contributors.
Right.
I mean, like in any organization, you know, if you're
you have participants and then you have the spectators, and you want to participate.
And spectators, you know, particularly with young people, it's never an easy road because they become, they become disturbing factors rather than contributing factors.
Mm-hmm. Right. Did the Interact Club have anything to do with the youth exchange program?
Yes. That was one of the international projects that we did. Initially, the Rotary Club of Salisbury had a youth exchange weekend. In other words, all the youth exchange students from all over the world that were settled in our area, in our district, meaning Connecticut, Massachusetts, would come here, and the Rotarians would entertain them and etc. And our club would sponsor that weekend, and that was very pleasant, etc. But then our club members didn't. It's not that they became disenchanted, but they were getting a little bit on in years, and it was. And also, there was a generation gap eventually.
Yes.
So. It became less and less interesting, so the Interact Club took over that particular activity, and from then on, we developed it, and it was something that all the Interactors every single year looked forward to.
Oh, surely.
It was a wonderful exchange weekend because the students would come from all over Europe, Asia, the Philippines, Southeast Asia, I mean, from all over. And, you know, there was this wonderful interaction, and they would come for an entire weekend, stay with their respective host family, and then we would have one sleepover at a at somebody's home. Mm-hmm. And, of course, everything was chaperoned. And that would be... that was just fantastic. You know, they would play games together and chat and develop friendships. And, you know, these friendships...
they last.
Still, yeah.
Oh, yes, they last. And that's the important thing. It's one thing to have a book that says teaching tolerance, but it's another thing to have the exchange of ideas with young people and to learn about different cultures. When they're young and they haven't learned all of the prejudices that can be foisted on them from other people.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. And I think some of the students then even visited, their respective friends in France or wherever, or in Spain. And so, yes, there were definite relationships that grew out of it.
Is the Interact Club still active?
No.
Oh, dear.
Unfortunately... when I left the Interact Club, I had given prior notice of a year, and nobody to took up the slack, and the Interact Club at that point folded. I left, the faculty advisor retired.
It was the end of an era.
It was the end of an era. But which is not to say it couldn't have continued if our our Rotary Club would have put enough effort into it. But maybe it was just as well at the time, and but which doesn't say that it is finished.
It can be resurrected again.
It can be, it can be resurrected with enough effort, but it also requires enormous amounts of time.
Yes.
Enormous amounts of time. When I think back at the time, I don't even know where I got all the time to do these things. And the energy.
Yes.
Because we would have fundraisers. And, in other words, I was involved in everything. I never expected these young people to do anything that I wouldn't do.
Mm-hmm. And that's wonderful leadership. It's a good role model.
I think you have to be a role model, and you can't just talk and say, well, that's what you were going to do. In other words, here is how it is being done.
Yeah.
And you can do it better, or whatever. And,
It's important to be a role model, and sometimes it's better to go out on top than to let it dwindle away.
Well, I would never,
Now, your husband was involved in the Salisbury Affordable Housing Trust. Tell me about that, please.
Well, I was not involved at the time. Mm-hmm. And so it was really his baby. It came out of the Salisbury Forum in 2000-something. And, which was an annual get-together and so forth, and people sort of gave their opinions on what was most needed in our community, or what should our community look like in 25 years, etc., which I'm sure you know. And what came out of it was affordable housing. And then my late husband Richard took it upon himself. There were a group of people that were very much interested in getting something going, because it was already being done in different communities like Kent, etc. And he took it upon himself to study this in detail and how best to approach it, and the possible political aspects of it, but how would it best serve the individual and or families in our community. And he came up with, together actually with Carl Williams, he was involved, and there was, I think, Digby Brown was involved. But anyway, it was really his doing and his energy that finally put this on the map, and he also had the business acumen to do this. And so finally, I can't remember the year it came into existence, it then, started to work, and what the charter basically said, we want people, we want young people, new people in this community who cannot afford to live here otherwise. And this means we will build or renovate houses that become affordable by owning the land and selling the house. And the house would then be either built or renovated or whatever. And in the meantime, this is now 2014, and there are about 12 houses. New houses and renovated houses.
Are there houses in a cluster, or are they scattered?
Some of the houses are in a cluster on East Main Street in Salisbury, and some of the houses are in various locations.
So they're both single and
okay. Right, both.
And this would be for young people that have children, that are working for the volunteer fire department, ambulance.
Correct. Yes. In other words, that is the preference. That these are people, who who work in the community and for the community.
And they are vital to the community.
And they are vital to the community, yes, to keep the, in other words, to forward going, to keep the community young and energetic. And because it is a group, very large group of elderly who live here.
Yes, yes, and we need to keep the schools going and the volunteer services.
Exactly, yeah.
How is this funded? Is it grants or private donations?
No, it's all private donations.
That's all private?
So far, it's all private donations. And however, nothing is written in stone, and mm-hmm. things can always change. The only thing was, at the time, Richard decided that to get the government or government grants, that would delay the whole process by years. And you then you can no longer make individual decisions, but you have to play it
by the regulations.
By the regulations.
And is there a board that oversees this?
Yes, we have a board. Well, anyway, upon Richard's death, I was approached whether I would join the board, and I felt I owed it to him. Mm-hmm. This was sort of legacy on his part to join, which I did.
Yep.
And I'm very glad that I did.
When did you join?
I joined 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And did he die? Yeah. Oh, no, my goodness me, I don't believe it. Oh, I don't know, 4 years ago or so.
Okay.
So you're talking about 2010, thereabout.
How many are on the board of directors?
We have, at this point, it was a much larger board, but the board has dwindled down. And the good thing is 6 people, that each one has a specific task.
Good.
Good. There's no wasted air.
Do you have a house in progress now?
At this moment, no, we don't have a house in progress. But we are looking at a situation which could be very exciting.
Oh, good.
That's all I can say at this point.
That's fine. But it's something to look forward to. It's something
in the future. Oh, we are very much involved. Yes, as a matter of fact.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Is there something of particular note that you'd like to add to this interview before we close? We've covered the Crop Walk and some of the Haiti Project, the Interact Club, and the Salisbury Affordable Housing Trust. But is there something else that touches you that you'd like to add?
Nothing I can sort of offhand think of. I'm sure afterwards.
Oh, yes. We always do that.
Lots of things, and I'll be happy to convey that to you.
Wonderful.
And probably by email or by telephone. And because, you know, when I think that within half an hour, I covered a large part of my life.
Oh, yes. Yes.
There has to be something missing.
I'm sure there is. And we can continue this at another time if you wish, but I want to thank you so much for your time. And I really appreciate all of the thought that has gone into this, because it is a large part of your life, and you've been a very, very active lady in everything that you've done.
Absolutely. I believe in one thing. If you sign up for something, then you have to give it your full energy. And time, and so on and so forth, because otherwise you just fill a space,
and
which is not necessary.
You do not fill a space.
No, I don't fill a space.
Thank you very, very much.
Not at all. My pleasure. Believe